There are a number of achanas that are necessary for this parak. Rav Kook is very, very, very mekatzer. And even though we learned Seif Aleph, in the third parak we learned Seif Aleph, and we're zoche to just get a little bit of a taste of the sweetness of his words. Levi Vesar Yirano El Kelchai. How when a person learns Torah, all the learning that a person does, that whenever a person learns Torah, it has to be connected to the Torah de La'ela HaKlalis. Where we're Isaac in day and night in the Torah de L'Sata HaPratis. We're Isaac in all of the Gemaras and all of the Halachas and all the Prote Pratim of Tyra, and the tachlis of all of that is to connect us always to that or ha'elyoin, that higher or that higher light of the Makor HaTorah, of where the Torah comes from. And we spent the last 2 weeks, Erev Chanukah and Chanukah, talking about this Yesod of the Torah de La'ela that's Me'eva, the Torah de L'Sata, and that when a person learns the Torah de L'Sata without the Torah de La'ela, when you learn the Torah, the lower Torah, meaning the Torah of the Pratim of Halacha, without connecting or returning through those Pratim to the Or Ha'elyon HaKloli, to the Me'ever, was the word that we were using, to that which is beyond the Torah de L'Sata, the Torah de La'ela, so then that Yiddishkeit could be one that is empty and meaningless. It might be intellectually stimulating, but it's not Tiras Hashem. And it doesn't bring to Kirvas Elokim. It doesn't bring to Libi Ubisari Ivanu Okel Chai. And the Ikur is to be Makasha the Torah HaKadosh Baruch. That's what we're learning, to be Makasha the Torah HaKadosh Baruch, to connect always the Torah to the one who gave the Torah. So we spoke about Shavuos and Simchas Torah. And in the context of Chanukah, we need to do a few more pieces from outside the Eretz HaTorah, and then we'll be up to the Parak Mitzvah Hashem quickly. But if we don't do the from outside, so then I'm afraid that it's going to be very, very hard for us to understand what Rav Kook is talking about. So a few more things. Before the Svarim Bilvavi Mishkan Evne started coming out, or around that time, maybe a little bit before, Rav Schwartz published a sefer called Lahav Eish. Do any of you have this? You know about this? Lahav Eish? Lahav Eish is really a perish on Svarim from the Talmud Yabal Shem Tov, on certain Yesodos in Yiddishkeit, that Rav Schwartz brings. In each of the pieces, he brings a basic yesod from one of the Svarim HaKadoshim, and he explains it. He teaches us that yesod. So, the ninth parak in Lahav Eish, the pages that you have in front of you, or on the side of you, is called Koyach HaAchdus Shebetorah HaKadoshim. And this is really the Yesod that Rav Kook is talking about. And I told you many times over the years, and when we were learning Eretz HaTshuva, that really it would be a tremendous thing if the Svarim of Rav Kook would be learned with the Svarim HaKadoshim in the right way, and to understand where Rav Kook was coming from, where he was drawing these concepts from. Which of course takes a tremendous amount of time, But I'm certain that Bez Hashem, that's what's going to be coming up in the near future, that they're going to be such svarim written to show us all the makaris, not just the few that we have from Rav Tzvi Yehuda, but all of the makaris that Rav Kook was drawing from. Habnivne shel habriya kachu. So this is from Rav Schwartz from the Mechaber for Bilvav Mishkan Edna. There's a place to sit, Rabid. There's a place to sit down. To sit down. Huh? That's okay. That's right. It makes me feel uncomfortable if somebody's standing. Habmivne shel habriya kachu. The mivne shel habriya, the structure of creation, HaMivne shel habriya kachu, is this. Yesh es ha'ein sof shekulay achdus gemura. Everything begins and everything will end, of course, with the ein sof, with the infinite one. Shekulay achdus gemura, which is absolute achdus, complete oneness. Shekulay achdus gemura. That's the beginning of everything. The Ein Sof Shekulay Achdus Gemura. Yesh es hahiyuli shehu ha'ayin hanivra harishon shekolos hakol. Now the Ramban reveals to us the beginning of Chumash. Anybody who has opened to the first page of Chumash and tried to learn the first pasuk in Chumash has learned this Ramban. But the Ramban says that the beginning of creation was something that he called a Chaymer Hiyuli, which is translated into English as Chaymer Hiyuli. That's how it's translated. Or Heilic Matter. Chaymer Hiyuli. There's no word for it. Something beyond description without any words. Something that was that crossing over from the infinite to the finite. And in order to cross over from the infinite to the finite, the Baruch Shalom created something that was the most spiritual, physical thing that could ever be, as a way of crossing over from the infinite to the finite. Of course, everything Ramban is talking about is Sisrei Torah's Kabbalah. The Ramban was from the Avi HaMukabbalah. And this Chaymer Hiyuli, this very, very sublime matter, it wasn't anything that you could smell or touch, but the beginning, this sublime matter was the first Nakuda of creation. Was the beginning of creation. And from there, all the pratim, all of the details of creation would emerge. But I recommend that each person learns the Ramban at the beginning of Chumash to understand what it means. Gracious Baruch Elokim es Hashamayim v'Haaretz. Gracious, the beginning of the Bria was that Chaymer Hiyuli. And I'm sure that many of you have learned that, but it's the beginning of Bereishis. Yeishes hahiyuli shu ha'ayin hanivra harishon shekolos hakol. It's that first point of creation, of it not being kivyochol, just Hashem, or it's seeming like there's something other than Hashem. And in that Chaymer Hiyuli, the Ramban tells us, everything was there. Everything that could ever be, even though on the first day it would come out like this, the second day this would emerge, on the third day this would emerge, but in that Chaymer Hiyuli, everything was there. Shu ha'ayin hanivra harishon shekolol hakol. U'mishom yesh haschala shel hispartus. And from that, and the Ramban teaches us that from that beginning of that very, very sublime, mysterious Chaim HaYuli, began the process of Hispartus. From the word Prat, Hispartus, the descent into details. Prat means specific details. Mishom yesh haschola shel Hispartus. Of course, this requires many, many, many shlavim, many stages. But Mishom yesh haschola shel Hispartus. The person would imagine, of course, it's only a muscle, but the way that already by now everybody that's studied biology a little bit, even just in school, knows that they already made films of showing how the cell and fertilized and then the eyes, the ear, how the fetus, the embryo begins to take shape and form into protein. First, it's just a mass. It's an undefined mass that has in it everything that could be. Now we know even more about the DNA and all this stuff. And it's everything is in that. Everything is not Nakuda. Everything is not Nakuda. And that Nakuda goes through the time of the Ibur, of being in the mother. And during that time, then slowly, except on the movie, it happens very fast. But over the time of the 9 months, so from that Nakuda, then there's a Hispartus of all the different parts until by later, I don't know exactly, but at some point much later, you could already recognize it. There's a human being. It's already recognizable as a human being. So, just as a muscle, all of creation began with this Nakuda, and that over time, over time there was a Hispartus, and this process continues. It's not natural, it's with the Koyach HaBoyre, because that's not something that just happens. But there's the Hispartus. Mishom yesh haschola shel Hispartus. Mireishis achas nasa kama v'chul v'chul. That from that rachis, from that beginning, that was one, no, again, using the muscle, no legs, no eyes, no ears, from that rachis, that's one, creation, the Chaymer Hiyuli, came out many, kama, v'chul v'chul. V'chol prat, and then each prat, that's not the end of it, then each prat is holich umeschalik la'id pratim, then every detail becomes divided into more specific pratim, details and parts. Goes on. Well, the person looks at anything in creation under a microscope. It's everything is filled with countless pratim, and then over the years, so then they learned how to take one of those pratim and to look into one of those pratim, and then they discover that in that prat there are infinite pratim, and as the years go by, they develop more technology how to look at this piece of the puzzle, and when they look at it, they say, oh, we thought that was the whole thing. That how could it get smaller than that? So when some of us were kids, they already said that that an electron doesn't. The claims to Zah. You can't get smaller than that, the electron. That's it. That's the prat, is an electron. But then they came out with more powerful microscopes, all these things, and they said, oh, an electron is a whole world inside of there. It's a whole world inside of an electron. And v'chein hala. And with the Bari Olam is Mashgiach, that he's everything that he creates is Mashgiach and Mashpia on every single prat. But it all comes out from that rachis, from that beginning. Nimtza shekol shayresh sheha adam oiches bai. Whenever a person, this is a very big yisayid, whenever a person grabs hold of the shayresh of something, Whenever a person is holding on to the root of something, yesh lo es kol ha-protam ha-klula b'shayrish, then you are, in effect, you are holding on to all of the protam that are included in that shayrish. So, again, using the muscle, so you're holding the little child of a little grandchild or whatever it is in your arms. And in that baby, we're already looking at this baby now, even though the baby itself is a hispatus. But that baby contains millions, whatever, I don't know, hundreds of billions of cells. Whenever you hold on to the shayrish of something, you're holding on to all of the pratim that are going to come from it. So, again, using this only as a mashal, if in the laboratory, the scientists, there's an issue maybe that they have to do with infertility, and they have that, and they take the fertilized egg, and they have it over there, and they're trying to help it along, and they have it in the laboratory with a microscope, and they're doing something. So that little fertilized egg has in it all the prote-protum, like the Tani talks about, all the prote-protum, mirayish, v'ad kaf haregel, all the prote-protum of that future human being. So when you're holding on, it's a scary thing. When you're holding on, when the scientist is holding on to that little chayme hiyuli, it has in it like 13-year-old putting on his tefillin for the first time, you know, it has in it all the future of that bria, all the protein, all of the pratim, the physical pratim, and all of the pratim of the person's life somehow are in that little thing that's sitting in this guy's test tube. Everything is there. So when you're holding on to the, whenever you're holding on to the shayresh, you're holding on to that. Whenever you're connecting, whenever you're holding on to the shayresh, you're also somehow connecting to, holding on to, all of the protam, all of the details that are included in that shayrish, in that root. So when you hold the seed of the tree, you don't see it. But when you're holding the seed of the tree, so you have in it. So it's an apple. So you have it at the, all different apples, thousands and thousands of apples that are going to end up in this place and in that place. You have there, all in that little seed. Yesh lo is kol ha-protam ha-klulim b'shayesh. Ulam, however, but when a person's holding on to one prat, one apple, you're holding on to one prat. Yesh loy prat ze v'suloy, and all you have is that prat, that specific piece, ze v'suloy. Even though, of course, that prat is itself, as we said, has more pratim, so it itself is a klal for the smaller pratim. But we understand that when a person's holding on to, not to the shayrish, but to the prat, so then all he has really is that prat, v'sulai. V'sulai means, and nothing more. And nothing more. He just has that prat. When he's holding on to the shayrish, he has all that could possibly come from there. He's holding on, in effect, to everything. When he's holding on to the prat, the prat has already been detached. It's already emerged or been born. So he's not holding on to the klal anymore. He's not holding anymore by gracious bar lakim. Now he's holding on by hevei baker, hevei baker, hevei baker. Ever since that first time, by hevei baker, hevei baker, he's holding on to a prat. He's not holding by gracious. He's holding on to by hevei baker. Vayem lakim, he this, vayem lakim, he that. Ulakach, Kechol sheha adam oiches b'sharish al yon yoyser. The more, therefore, he says, the more that a person is able to reach back, that he's able to reach back and to hold on to that which is closer to the shayrish, the more he's able to approach the shayrish, the root. Kechol she'adam oiches b'shayrish el yon yoyser, the closer to the beginning, to where it comes from, to the Sharish El Yoyser, Yesh lo b'soicha es kol ha-pratim, the more he is able to contain within that experience or that knowledge, the more that he's within himself, es kol ha-pratim, all of the pratim, ha-mishtal shalim mi-sharish zeh, that are going to be mishtalso, that are going to emerge and ultimately be revealed from that shayrish. V'havein, and understand this. All of creation was made in such a way of klal uprat uklal. All of creation. And the closer a person gets to the echad, to that klal, the deeper and more profound is the connection to all of the pratim. You could have a teacher that has little children in the class, and you have a yankin, you have a maishin, you have a baruch, and a shmeral, whatever, and when that little boy has, let's say he's acting up that day in class. This has happened before. So that child is acting up in class. It's giving the Rebbe a hard time. So you'll have one Rebbe that will get completely lost in that behavior of Maishi or Yanki. He'll get totally lost in that behavior. And he will reach some sort of a conclusion about that boy, and he'll paskin, he won't say it, the parents will say it. You know, but in his head, Shenka paskin, that this boy is like this, and finished. And that entire child has been judged by that prat, by the prat of how he was behaving that day in class. You'll have another Rebbe that will see a certain prat coming out of the child in school, and the Rebbe will try to understand what? The klal. From where does that come from? What's the klal of the child? Who is the child? And this Rebbe tries to somehow retrace, to go back, how a person does that. That's not for now, but he tries to go back as much as possible to get to the shayrish, try to find out the parents, what's going on in the house, what's happening in the home, other things, to get back to the shayrish. And then, once the Rebbe is back to some degree closer to the shayrish of that child, so then he's able to be oiches in all of the pratim. He already has, at this point, if the Rebbe has done that, and the Rebbe is perceptive and wise, then he's able to, in a certain way, to orchestrate how the pratim turn out. For the Rebbe or for the teacher who is only addressing the prat, so even if he could somehow force a change to that prat, or parent can force the child to stop that form of behavior. It's the same way, everybody knows, every parent knows, that when you plug up this hole, so it comes out from another hole. And if you're a plumber, you know that it doesn't just come out from one place afterwards. But usually the whole side of the house falls down. If you start plugging up things, then it comes out someplace else. The Rebbe who goes to the Shayrish, from that vantage point of the Shayrish, he's able to have some control. Like he's looking at the bigger picture, and he's able to have control over the Pratim. For the Rebbe, for the teacher, for the parent, who's only in the Prat, he might be able to force that Prat to go a certain way, but he hasn't really helped, and he hasn't changed anything. So it comes out that prat then, like the cell divides, and divides and divides, and then you have more and more and more pratim, and then you have adults that are sitting around and shaking their heads and saying, "Gee, I can't understand why this kid doesn't want to keep Shabbos. I just don't get it." In other words, what's wrong with the pratim of this kid's life? But a person who's oiches in the klal, and that's why the big tzaddikim like Rav Kook. The big tzaddikim like Rav Kook, they have such a look. They have a look. They see everything from that perspective of the klal. Always that bigger picture. And since when you're oiches in the klal, then mimela you're able to have a connection to every prat. You know, all of those stories we have from Lubavitcher Rebbe's, in our generation, he was most famous for these stories, that anything that's happening anywhere in the world, Lubavitcher Rebbe seemed to know about if there was a Yid someplace in Norway that didn't have Masters for Pesach, then the Rebbe would say to Shlich, you're going to do me a favor, stop off in this town, there's a Yid over there, give him Masters. He needs Masters for Pesach. Who? The Rebbe said, you'll find him. And there, almost every story from Lubavitcher Rebbe is like along those lines of people that it was printed. One of the fellows used to be, sent me from HSL, and another one of the chaver gave me from over here. There was a nice actor. We have to go over this because it's just such a meidik meisa that it really needs an hour to talk about a different time. But a meisa with the famous psychologist Viktor Frankl. I'm sure many of you heard of Viktor Frankl's now. An unbelievable, unbelievable person, a psychologist, went through the Holocaust. A ma'aseh with Lubavitcher Rebbe, and with some geirus in the middle. And whatever, the gist of the story was that there was, this goes back to the early 60s, the late 50s, the gist of the story was is that there was some geirus that was coming to talk to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And Lubavitcher Rebbe, and she was from Austria, and Lubavitcher Rebbe said, "Are you going back to Vienna? Are you going back to Vienna?" She says, "Yeah." She says, "You've gone to Vienna. Go there. There's a famous professor in the university, a Jew by the name of Viktor Frankl. And go tell him that I said that he shouldn't give up. He shouldn't give up, especially now, not to give up, and in the end it'll be okay." She said, "Who's Viktor?" "You'll find him. He's in Vienna." "Oh, Vienna's a big city. You'll find him." She goes, "Yes, right. He was a well-known person." A whole unbelievable maisa, because there's a whole machloikis from Viktor Frankl and all the Freudian psychologists, and they were mavazah him, and they were right of him, and he was going to throw all of his writings into a fire. He was going to throw out all of his writings, and he was going to drop the whole thing and, you know, do something else for a living. He was a genius of geniuses who went through Auschwitz. He was going to drop everything, and he was going to... And it's a whole stalschluss what this lady says, how she, when and how. So she came, and she knocks on the door there, and she found out where is this professor. That, she goes there, and she knocks on the door, and the wife comes, and this lady says, "Is this professor Dr. Frank?" "Yeah." "What do you want?" "He's kind of..." So he's a world famous, but, you know, she's not so... Just for a minute. So Professor Frankl comes, "What do you want?" So he says that I was asked by a famous rabbi in New York, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He said, "I should tell you that the time has come and you shouldn't give up hope, and in the end you'll see that, like the lesson was, you'll be victorious." And he broke down, he started to cry. You have to understand that after the Muhammad, after the war, this Viktor Frankl married a Catholic woman, and he had, even in his house, he let her keep crucifixes in the house. A lot of people don't know that about Viktor Frankl. He became totally separate from everything. Even though you saw from his books that he was filled with emunah, okay, nobody judges these people. But, and he broke down, he was crying, and he said over this whole thing that was going on, that he was about to throw this like into the fire. His life's work, because all these professors in the university, Mavazim, and then he went ahead. He had a whole change of heart, and the book that Man's Search for Meaning, his most famous book, he wrote many books, but Meir's First Rabin, has given chiyus and hope to millions of people. It's one of the best-selling books that was ever written in all of history. Man's Search for Meaning. And the Lubavitch Rebbe had a cheshbon that there are going to be millions of human beings in the world that are going to get chizik. And that he had, that there was this yid over there, Viktor Frankl, that's going to throw this thing into the fire. And at the exact moment, he sends this Gioris that he helped, he sends her to go to Vienna and find Dr. Frankl and tell him, I'm good. At that moment. And all the Maestim are like that. So what's he sitting over there? Rebbe sitting in... There are no pictures. You'll never find pictures of the Lubavitch Rebbe in Palm Springs. You can go through all of the archives and ask all the people who are the Gdolim picture takers. The only pictures they have of the Lubavitch Rebbe are... In Crown Heights, and where else? Over here, at the oil. And one, there was. He went to the camp. He went one trip. He took to the mountains. He went to the camp. He went to visit the kids in the camp. That was it. That was it. Yeah, but that was it. No Palm Springs, no Miami, no Eretz Yisrael. Gone. The oil, and back. And from there, it was the whole world. And the generals and the prime ministers are calling him to ask, and he's saying that the tanks should go to the right and this one should go to the left. I mean, this has all been documented. And then the protum of a yid someplace in the world that because the Lubavitcher Rebbe saw that this yid, Viktor Frankl, that his chiyus is going to be a chiyus for millions of human beings, that they're going to get chiyus from this book. And the Rebbe had to be matzled that to save. He felt the Rebbe understood that he was saving millions of people by saving this yid and giving him chizik. Because why? Because there's certain tzaddikim. There are tzaddikim. Every tzaddik is beautiful. There are tzaddikim that their neshamas are closer to the sherish, to this sherish elyon. It's kechol shehadam oiches b'sherish elyon yoseh. The more you're holding on to the Sherish Elyon Yaiser, the more you're holding on to all of the Pratim, like that Rebbe, that traces the kid back to the home and where he comes from. Now he's able to understand everything about that kid's life. Why did the kid act up that day? It's not a bad kid. Why is he acting that way? If one Rebbe said, come over here, give me a smack, you talk like that, I'll give you a smack. The Rebbe that understands where that kid's coming from, he says, come over here, I'm going to give you a kiss. Not a smack. I'll give you a kiss, because Zecher Rahman is what happened to you in your life. I'll give you a kiss. That's what you need. You don't need a smack. You need a kiss. Makes a big difference. The tzaddik goes back to the Sherish Elyon. The higher on the Sherish Elyon he is, the more he includes within him all of the protein, all of the details. Come from there. And then we can see, of course, how all this is with learning Torah. That's what the whole Arizat Torah is about. That's what the whole Arizat Torah is about. V'hinei hein hein adivarm amurim af ba'asagas ha-Torah HaKadosh. And this is exactly what it means, ha-sagas ha-Torah, the understanding Torah. Now this is what we've been talking about last week, me'ever, beyond, that's the klal, the shayrish, and this is what Rav Kook is talking about. If a person is Isaac just in a prat, just in that little detail, fine. Then he has something, but he just has that prat. He has that detail. He has that piece of the puzzle. Ulam im zoiche liknes hashoyrish, but in learning, if a person is zoiche, in learning Torah, if a person is zoiche to be kind of the shoyrish, and we're going to be learning what that means, if a person is zoiche to be kind of the shoyrish, ha-pratim yistal shaloi mimela, then the pratim mimela will emerge. The pratim mimela will come out. That's what we've been talking about, even in the Derech HaLimud, which we're going to get to a lot in Mitzvah Hashem. We're going to talk about the different Derech HaLimud, Brisk and Rogatchev, Avni Nezer, and other tzaddikim. We'll talk about Mitzvah Hashem later on. But that is what really it's all about. Reb Chaim Brisker, we spoke about this many times, and also that Shavuos night a few years ago, so Reb Chaim Brisker looked at the Blat Gemara in a different way. And it was, of course, didn't begin with Reb Chaim. But to us, that learned in the yeshivas, that's where it became so clear to us. You'd be trying to figure out the Blat Gemara, and every Blat Gemara is like a forest with a million trees, and you're trying to figure out what's going on over here, and you're sitting on this sentence and that sentence. It's just like the Rebbe says, come here, I'm going to give you a smack. So you want to give that sentence a smack. Because you don't understand. You're not looking at the painting. You're looking at that one thing in a big painting, like there's a whole mural, and you're looking at this one thing, you say, I don't get it, I don't understand. Rashi doesn't make sense. Like people say, God forbid. Rashi doesn't make sense. Reish Lakish doesn't make sense. So you're looking at this thing, and then when you go, then you open up Chiddush Rabbeinu Chaim HaLevi. You learn a Chiddush Rabbeinu Chaim, from any of the Bnei Mishpacha, but especially from Rabbeinu Chaim, from the Biskalov, from the Biashabriya. You learn, and then, all of a sudden, when you start to get it, it takes your breath away. Mamish. Because then all of a sudden, you see the whole mural. You see the whole painting. And even if it didn't say exactly what that prat was, you already know all of the pratim. Just like that famous mice that I've told you many times, when Reb Chaim Brisker was having there was a disagreement between him and some other big, big, big person. I don't remember who it was, some great person. And the other great person was a big bucky, and he knew by heart all of Shas. And they were arguing and learning, and that Adam Godlo said that says this in Taisus, whatever, and Reb Chaim Brisker says Taisus doesn't say that. And everybody knew that other person was known as a bigger bucky than Reb Chaim. And that Rav said that it says that in Taisus, and Reb Chaim says it doesn't say in Taisus. And then this is all, of course, without holding any Gemaras, they're just talking. So that big Talmid Chacham sent Bacha, go get the Gemara, and brings the Gemara, and Reb Chaim was right. It didn't say that in Taisus. So everybody was writing the spell, especially that Bucky was writing the spell, and he said that you know every word in Taisus that you remember. So Reb Chaim said, no, you have a better memory than me. But I know that Taisus couldn't have said that. In other words, I know Taisus. And I know that Taisus couldn't have said that. It's not consistent with Taisus. Taisus has a way of thinking, even though they're different people, the Bali Taisus. But there's a way of thinking. And I didn't know that by heart, but I know Taisus. And because I know Taisus, I know that Taisus could not have said that. Because that's not Taisus, Dick. That svar is not Taisus. Couldn't be. So when you learn a piece of Reb Chaim, and you begin on a very tiny, tiny scale to think like that, like Reb Chaim, which is always in that place of the klal, of the, what is the bigger picture of what the Gemara is talking about? What is the Gemara about? So then, all of the pratim, ding, 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 they fall into place. Now we understand the Rashi, now we understand the Ran, now we understand Tosis, now we understand the Rosh, now we understand the Machlokes between the Mechab and the Ramah. Ding, 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 ding. All of the pratim. Because when you hold on to that Svara, even though right now you might not know all of the pratim, but you have the Svara, you have Reb Chaim's Svara, and now, when you learn this sugya, and you have Reb Chaim's mahalach, so now every single rishon, every single achron, everything that you're learning, all the way down to Shulchan Aruch and Halacha Lemaisa, it's all that klal. It all comes from that klal, that unbelievable klal that Reb Chaim said. Comes from that klal. And as I told you many times, we're going to learn more about this later in the sefer, that one of Reb Chaim's greatest talmidim was a Reb Moshe Avigdor Amiel, Rav Amiel, who was the Rav of Tel Aviv at the end of his life, a guy in Olam. He was pushed on the side by many people because he was a very strong Mizrahi, very strong Zionist. And the even though he was a bigger lamdan than the rest of them, but he was marginalized by many people. It was an Adam Gadol Ma'id. He was in Antwerp, and then afterwards he came to Eretz Yisrael, and he was the Rav of Tel Aviv. Ga'ayn ha-ga'aynim, one of the closest to Reb Chaim Brisker. And Rav Amiel wrote a sefer, Midos Hamidos L'Cheker HaHalacha, which has been, I couldn't understand why, but that's how it is, that for many, many years you couldn't get, with tremendous, tremendous yigiyah, and also a lot of money, I was able to get the first chalik. First I had photostated in the library, and then parts of the first chalik, and then I was able to buy, in Yerushalayim for a lot of money, the first chalik, which of course was a skula that within the next 2 months they would print it for $18, which is exactly what happened. I pay for the $150.
No, that's why they were
publishing. Oh, that's I was supporting it. So then it came out, but it came out in the original, in the same print that I had. Just they did all three volumes, and that's been for many years. And now, last year that came out, the first chalik, with a new offset and with some notes. What's the midas chalik alohi? So Rav Amiel takes 13, not the 13 from Rishon, but he takes, I think it's 13 midas in svara, in logic, and he shows that kol atar kula, every single detail in all of Shas and all of halacha fits into one of these 13 principles of thinking. And if you understand these 13 principles, and he has around 1,800, almost 2,000 pages, no, like 1,500 pages altogether, he goes through all of the svaras, and then in each chapter, he has example after example after example, with the gemaras, with ksaisis, and the sivas, lomdis, and he shows that all of this machloik is there, and the ksaisis, and the sivas, and the chsam saif, and it's all, because of the two ways of understanding this nekuda, siba mesuvah, and all of the other midas that he has over there, midas chayka alachim, as we get closer to Mashiach. That's why he's had a print for a long time. As we get closer to Mashiach, these things are becoming more and more and more and more out there, because we're getting closer to the klal. Because Klal Yisrael wants very, very much to hold on to the klal again, because that's what Mashiach is. And we're trying to get back to the svaris, and to the beginning, to the Bereishis, because Hein Ga'alti Eschem is Achris, is Kereishis. And the end of time, all the details are going to be brought back to the beginning, and therefore there's a She'ifa now to get back to the beginning, to get back to the Chomer Hiyuli, to that one, to Hashem Echad. And the Hashem Echad is the Klal, is the Svara, before it goes into all of the details, into all the Prote Protim. And as we get closer to the Mashiach, there's more of a she'ifa for that. Same thing that's happening in science also. To get back to the unified theory or the unified principle of creation. Of reality. A unifying principle. In other words, all the scientists now are looking for is the Shayrish. For hundreds of years, the scientists were Isaac in the Pratim of the Bria. And understanding the details. But now, and really this was really with Einstein that began in earnest. And that really was his guidance. Einstein was never happy with just the proton. That's why they mavazi him too. And he was never happy with the proton. He always wanted it, he wanted the klal. And at the end of his life he came to Bayeul. But the beginning that then in earnest at the time of Einstein was to try to find this is very frustrating because this really, he died not getting to it. The theory of relativity is very, very famous. That itself, Maridik Chiddush. But after that, the rest of his life, he was trying to get to something else. But it's all one thing. To get back to Echad. One. That's all he was Isaac in. His entire life, Einstein, was to try to get to the Shoresh of creation. There's something that everything has in common. There's something that every single thing has in common, which means that every single thing in the world comes from one Shoresh. Because there is something that everything has in common. That's what all science is about now. Trying to get to that something. Of course, those are the big, big, big minds in science. We're not talking about, you know, the Kleine Kepler that are teaching for the regions or something. Talking about the big, 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 and I don't mean that in any direct, I'm just saying, compared to the big geniuses that are Isaac in these things. That's what it's about, to get to the klal. The closer you get to the Sheresh Elyon, the more you understand all of the Pratim. Once you get to the Svara, once you get to the Sheresh, then the Pratim are obvious. The Pratim are obvious. By someone who's a big Lamdan, or like Reb Chaim Viske, that kind of a Lamdan, so that, for him, the Pratim of the Sugya would be very obvious. He didn't have to memorize them. He didn't have to memorize them. Then you could be another person that has a terrific memory. You know, there's a Sinai and there's an Ikaharim, right? So you could be a person that has a terrific memory and you remember 1,000 details. But you don't get it. You don't get it. Someone's just telling me about that his son, he has a few boys. He has the older one is already married a few years and is a Talmud Chacham. And he has a younger one that has always struggled in yeshiva. By now he's already 15 years old. He's struggled in yeshiva. And the one that's the 15-year-old doesn't want to talk to his father in learning. He never talks to him in learning. But he talks to his older brother in learning. So the older brother was visiting from Lakewood. They were talking. He was trying to see where's little Moshele holding in learning. How's he doing? Because the father can get from the Rebbe like a straight answer. He says, yeah, he's doing great. He's doing great. And he doesn't want to talk to his father in learning. So he sent the older brother to talk to him in learning. So we were just discussing the chasna the other night. So the friend, so you said that he asked his son after Shabbos, no, how's Moshele, what's with the learning? So he said, very good. He said, Daddy, he says of all of the words, and he could translate the Gemara, but he doesn't have the foggiest notion of what's going on. And he could say over, and this is that, and the question, and there's any answers, any question, any answer, any question, any answer. But he says he doesn't know what's going on in the Gemara. Now, how could that be? He knows every question and answer to the Gemara. And the Rebbe's telling the father, he got 101 on his Bechina. That's what he got, 101. Nowadays, you have to give more than 100, you understand? If not, then maybe he could maybe have problems, emotional problems. So you have to give him 101. One of my children came last year, something like 119. I said, what is that? 119. Extra credit, extra, super duper, extra credit with smileys. The smileys and super duper, have a nice day, have a good day, with all kinds of things like exploding on the page. No. So the Rebbe gives the kid 101. He has 101 every Bechina. But the father's trying to talk to him in learning. He can't get from him like in learning. He can't talk in learning. So the brother talks to him in learning. He said that his little brother is saying over the whole Gemara, saying the Gemara like that. And he's garnished. Doesn't understand the Gemara at all. Now that the older brother, if the older brother would talk to a big Lamdan, then the big Lamdan would say to the brother, he says, oh, but he doesn't understand really what's going on. And then anybody would talk to Rav Yosef or whatever, so they should understand what's going on. That's how it is. Because the big Lamdan is closer to the Sheresh Elyon. And therefore, all of the Pratim are connected in that way. That's really what Lamdas is. That's what Lamdas is. It's not to get lost in the Pratim, it's to get out of the Pratim and to get away from the trees, or not to get away from it, but to appreciate the trees and understand the trees because you have a grasp of the whole forest. That's what it is. That's what Lamdas is. The forest. And when you have the forest, so Mimela, you have the trees. That's because Hinehain Hain had Varma Murum Afba Sagas Tara Kadesh. This is how it is when it comes to understanding Torah. If a person is Isaac just in that prat, which is when you look in the pilpul svarim, that's how it is. That prat. Just that prat. Then he only has that prat. Ulam im zoich liknas ha-shayresh. But if a person is zoich to get to the shayresh, Oh, then a pratim ishtal shalemi meila. The pratim are easy. The pratim are easy. Kevin shakra kone es shorsha. Because he was already kone, what? The shorsha. Me'ein ze kosev Ramchal besvar v'kadoshim mispar pom. The Ramchal, a lot of times Ramchal talks about this. A lot. And then he has a whole sefer on lumbus. On the logic of Shas also. Derech Tfuna. Not Das Tfuna, Derech Tfuna. It's on lumbus. From the Ramchal. On the logic of Shas. On Svaras. And many, many times the Ramchal talks about this in Avodas Hashem. Also. In Avodas Hashem. It's not just in lumbus. In Halacha. We're going to talk about it. It's in one's entire Avodas Hashem. Have any of you ever been in a position where you had to interview somebody for a job in your place? Did any of you do that? You interview somebody, no? Mm-hmm. You have a person applies for a job, and you look over the resume, and you go, there are two or three pages, and it's this, 1981, he was here, to 83, he was there, and this, and there's a match, and there's this from here, and a batch is from there, and there and he worked in this place, and worked in that place. I always find it interesting to hear. I talk to people and they tell me what their interview was like. I find it interesting. What was the interview like? You have one person that interviews, and he's Isaac and all of the pratim of that person's resume. It's not a lamdan that does that. When the boss is a lamdan, when you have a boss who's a lamdan, he doesn't even talk about any of those pratim. Doesn't make a difference. He went to Johns Hopkins, he went to Queensboro, he went to Queens College, he went to Brooklyn. Doesn't make a difference then. That's not it. A Baal Seichel, when the boss is a Baal Seichel, he asks something, usually it seems totally unrelated to what's on those papers. So I have one of my daughters now that she's going to have her interview next week for seminary. The interview for seminary. Only parents will know what that is. Okay, it's a whole thing. What we have to suffer in order to give away our last penny. That we have to give this up. That they should accept her. That they should accept her. So the girls have like a whole mesorah of what the guy asks on the interview. So they're trying to like get ready. It's such a rachmanis. I tell her all the time, you don't have to prepare for that. She says, no, because the girl said that he always asks, what's your favorite animal, or something like that. Or if you could be an animal, which animal? So they're trying to prepare, like, what's a good animal? Like, what do you think would be a good animal that this rabbi is going to, like, be happy? Or there was something else, like, if you were, what part of the tree do you like? I don't know. These kind of things. And so they written up, these girls, like, 15 things they heard in the Messiah that this rabbi has asked these questions. And they're trying to prepare an answer. So she comes and asks him, Daddy, what's a good answer to this? Like, what's the best part of the tree? I said, what kind of questions? What are you doing? Why are you asking me that? That's in school? So, no, I'm getting ready for my interview. What are you interviewing for Central Park Zoo? What are you interviewing? What are you talking about? She says, no, I'm interviewing for the seminar. So what are you asking about? Trees and about? What's the favorite animal? I don't know what you're talking about. She says, yeah, the girl said that he always asks these kind of questions. Of course he doesn't, because that girl, you know how it is with the maid looking. So that became that everybody, it's a whole network, it's like the internet or something, from these girls. But what is the rabbi asking? The rabbi is a Baal Seichel. And the rabbi asks a certain svara. He's trying to look for a certain svara to see where the girl oiches. Is she oiches in the shirish of thinking? Or is she somebody that's oiches in the prate prate? The most difficult tests that they give are not the tests that are memorizing and prate prate. Those are not the most difficult tests. The real tests are the ones that go to the sherish. When the person who's giving the interview is trying to find out, what could I expect from this guy if he works by me? It doesn't have to do so much with the... Yeah, of course, you have to look at the resume a little bit. You want to see if he's... you want to see where he went or whatever. But that's not the ikur. The ikur is... The shayrish to get to the shayrish of the person, and then mimela, you could predict pretty much what's going to be with this guy. Not exactly, you could predict pretty much what's going to be with the pratim. But if you got just with the pratim, and there are people that do that, and just the pratim, So they should be 2 days after you hire the guy. It has nothing to do with his resume. It's the guy it was the first in his class in Harvard. He was the, and he did this, and he ran this company, did this thing, and he invented the computer. What this guy did. And then you find out, a week after the guy's working, Zah lo yutzluch. And he has a resume like this. And such a lo yutzluch. But that doesn't happen to a boss as a bal seichel. A bal seichel is in the klal. And he's holding by the klal, he sees where the shoresh of this guy is, and then he's not worried about the problem. And you know what? Even if the first week, a couple of things he botches up, he doesn't botch up klolis dicker things. He might botch up a couple of things because he's not familiar yet with how things are going exactly. But he's a bal seichel. And that's the difference. And when it comes to hasagas ha-Torah, the seichel of all seichel, and the klal of all klalim, is the Borei Olam, is the creator of the universe. The creator of the world. And the closer a person is to the Borei Olam, the more mimela he understands of all the prote protein, of the Bria and of the Torah. Well, we'll continue as a Shana.